gather together as a church, that we get to hear your word, be encouraged by your word, that we're able to just sing songs of praise to you. We thank you, God, that we get edified, we get encouraged here, Lord, and we just pray, God, that you would be with us tonight, this morning. We pray that you would open our hearts, that you would open our ears, God, that whatever you want to say, God, will be said this morning. God, we pray, Lord, that we would be able to apply this to our lives, and we just thank you, God, for being an amazing Father. God, we love you. Amen. Amen. I forgot visitor cards, like usual. All right, if you're a visitor in this room, sorry. There's a blue card in front of your seats. If you would feel free to fill that out, we just want to know how we can connect with you more, how we can love you better. We don't call you and spam your emails or anything like that, but we just want to know if there's anything we can pray for. We want to try. It's just a small way that we can get to know you better. So please fill that out if you want to do that. Sound good? All right, here we go. Let's get started into the Word of God. We are in the middle of a series called Greater. And with Jody, Ken, and Justin preach on Greater yet? No. Just Jody and Ken. We're talking about this aspect of Greater. And we're kind of taking some bits and pieces from a book called Greater. And it's a good book. I suggest you read it. But how many of you guys know that God has something greater for us? Yes. Okay. That's a good thing, because he does. He absolutely does. Today, what God has put on my heart to share with you guys is greater confidence. How many of you guys know what confidence is? How many of you guys know? No one knows? Cool, I get to teach you. I got the definition right here. Confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. Firm trust. All right? Now, a lot of times we can put our confidence in ourselves, right? A lot of us do. That's what we tell our kids. Have confidence. You know, well, I don't like the way I look. Have confidence. Well, I don't know. I might mess up. No. That's the wrong thinking. Have confidence, right? But we teach our kids that. We know about that. We know if we're going to go to a job interview or we're going to speak in public, we say, have confidence. Stand up straight, right? So a lot of times this confidence that we're so used to, not necessarily a godly confidence, right? It's just confidence that comes from ourselves, a self-confidence. Today, I'm talking about a godly confidence, a greater confidence. So if you're taking notes, you can title your notes, Greater Confidence. Okay? You guys good? Somebody just scored a touchdown on my fantasy league. A couple of weeks before Jess and I found out we were pregnant, we were in an elders meeting, and we were praying for our group, we were praying for our team and our church, and then out of nowhere, Jody starts to prophesy over me and Jess, or Jess and I, about more is coming. Along the lines that there's more coming, greater things are coming, along those lines. And then a few days after, we get the news, right, babe, am I the timeline right? And we get the news that Jess is pregnant. And we're like, oh, wow, is that the more? Is that the greater that God was talking about? Because definitely more, right? Another kid in the household, that's more. You know, I was thinking along the lines of like more money or like more cars or something. But that works too, right? More. And then we go to the doctor because Jess is pregnant. So we know we got to check up and make sure everything is good. And then we find out that she's not only pregnant with one baby, she's pregnant with two babies. Okay? Now, from shock and surprise, as you know, if you can count, that is more, right? That is a lot more, right? That is way more, right? So, in my flesh and everything, like I said, I'm thinking the more, like, wow, that is more. That is definitely greater God. This is, it's amazing. It's shocking. It's a little scary, but it's amazing. Now, I don't know if that was the word that Jody was referring to is when he got the word of more, like, oh, you're going to have more kids. But that's just the way God works. So now me and Jess are at this time where our whole life is getting shifted and shaken and turned upside down in a good way, because now we have more coming, right? More kids. So we're at the point where, man, I need more finances. You know, we're looking at our little apartment and we're thinking, we need more room. We're looking at our cars, and the Ford Focus can't carry three car seats, and we're thinking, I need more car, right? That wasn't the more that I was thinking about when Jody prophesied and was praying over us. More money would have been perfect, right? But the first thing in my head, once we found out we were pregnant, was, I need a new job. I need a new job, right? All this more is coming. All this newness is coming. Things are getting stretched out. Our plan for our family has accelerated about 4 years. It's time for a new job, right? So through a friend, I got a little hookup. I got an interview, and this job was pretty awesome. It was good. I liked it. It was a fun job. It was paying me a whole lot more money than I get paid now. It had benefits. It had everything that I needed in this job. It was good. Very fun. Very cool. And I've been looking for a job for years. Those of you who know me and know that, you know, you guys pray for me. But I haven't been able to find a job that has everything that I need. Sometimes the money is good, but there's no benefits. Or the benefits are good, but the money's not as good. Or the money is good, the benefits are good, but I'm forced to work Sundays. So I can't take those jobs. So I've just been stuck in this place like, God, please open this door. Open this door for a job for me. And because of my friend, I got an interview. And I had a phone interview. And the phone interview went great. The phone interview was good. I sold myself. There was good questions being asked. And I was like, oh, this job is mine. Thank you, God. This is amazing. Finally, God, you've come through. More money, here we come. Bigger car, here we come. I was already thinking of what I was going to do with certain things. And we could put this money aside, and we can go buy that van and turn in this car. And I had it all planned out of what was going to happen, because the more is coming. Greater is coming, right? You guys good? I had everybody praying for me. I sent texts out to people. I said, hey, pray for me. I got this interview coming up. I got this interview. This is the job I want. This is finally the job I've desired. Here we go. Pray for me. So everyone was praying for me. I had so much confidence. I was like, finally, yes, this job is coming. So much that I even told my boss. I said, hey, sucker, I'm out of here. See you in 2 weeks, and then I'm done. I'm never going to see you ever again, which is a lie because he's one of my closest friends. But I was like, I'm done with this place. So the whole week when I had my interview till I got my answer, I was just like skipping at work and happy and waving at everybody. And I'm not going to see you guys ever again. This is amazing. I've been 10 years at my job. You got to understand. So I had the phone interview. Everything went good. Then I got called in for the face-to-face interview. Or actually, let me go back a step. On my phone interview, they laid out the money. Ooh, that's good. They laid out benefits. That works perfectly. The only problem is you're mandated to work Sundays. Oh, there it goes. There's that one word that I don't like to hear. Okay, well, I mean, if I have to, then this phone interview is over. Like, I can't take the job. I'm not going to work Sundays. Oh, wow. Okay, well, let's just continue the interview. Let's So we continue the interview. Then I get an email the next day saying, hey, I talked to my coordinator, and you can have Sundays off. So I'm like, dude, the floodgates of heaven is opening up for me. This is finally it. God, you're moving everything. This is God. So even more, the next day I come to my boss. Look, I got Sundays off. I'm never seeing you guys again, ever again. God has moved in. God has opened the doors. Finally, a new job. I felt like a caged animal, like free, right? 10 years in the same place. And so I have an interview on Friday. Get there. It was good. It felt good. It felt cool. It was fine. Got back on Monday. I was having a Starbucks with Caleb. And we're talking about the job. So, is it good? Are you going to get? Did you get the answer? Is everything good? Yeah, I should get the answer sometime today or tomorrow or something. Get my email. Update. I was like, yes, update. Cool. I hope you're having a good. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you're having a good Monday. We have some news for you. I'm like, oh, dude, like, what's going on? We decided to go with another candidate. Ooh. Thanks, Brian. Decided to go with another candidate. So all the plans, all the ideas that I thought I had, out the door. I read that email. It sounded so promising just in the email, like, I got the job. And it was like, psych. No, we went with a different direction. And I was angry. I just left Caleb and stuff, just went on my way. I'm in my car going to work, and I'm just like frustrated. I'm so mad, honestly. I'm just so let down. I'm so frustrated. All the confidence that I had in this job, all the confidence to have people pray, and I had people who don't even speak that were messaging me saying, I'm praying for you. And I'm like, I was so confident. Like, this is it. Finally, I get to get over this financial burden, right? Decided to go with another candidate. Decided to go. I was crushed. I felt like a loser. I texted my wife. I said I didn't get the job. She said, oh, it's okay. Everything's going to be. No, it's not. You don't understand. Like, I wanted out. I wanted this. This is what I needed. I was so mad. I'm arguing with God. I was let down. I'm asking him why. Why would you allow this to happen? Why would you allow this to go so far, make me feel so good, open the doors for Sundays, and then you just let me fall? That's it? Now I'm still stuck in my apartment. I'm still stuck in the Ford Focus. And so what? So what are you doing? Have any of us ever been there? Yeah. I just feel let down. I felt like a loser. The anger finally subsided, and I just felt sick, and I just wanted to throw up, and I just wanted to cry. And I was just saying, like, why, God? What are you doing? Twins? I'm having twins? And yet you're not going to provide the financial stability for that? I'm having twins, yet you still want me to cruise around in a Ford Focus? It didn't make sense. I'm doing all this stuff for you at church. I'm ministering. I'm volunteering. I'm giving all my all. And then this. You can't even come through in this. And after I calmed down, I know Jody was waiting for my response. And so I just texted him real quick. I didn't get the job. And like a good friend, he texted me back and, you know, a godly man. Don't worry, bro. God has a plan. And I read the text and I was like, don't worry, bro. God has a plan. God has a plan. God always has a plan. Right? Thanks, dude. That makes me feel better. God has a plan. I don't like his plan right now. This is all true. I'm not even lying or exaggerating for preaching purposes. Then I remembered I have to prepare a preach because I'm preaching this Sunday. I don't want to do that after my argument with God. Like, I don't feel very Christian right now, you know? Some of the words that were said, only me and God know. Like, I can't come up here. And then I remember, though, that I'm preaching about having a greater confidence in God. So, like God most times, just punching me in the throat. I'm preaching on having greater confidence in the Lord. A greater confidence, not confidence in ourselves, not confidence in our circumstances or surroundings, but confidence in the Lord. Say that with me, confidence in the Lord. But my confidence that day on Monday, my confidence was zapped. Zero. Empty. There was no more confidence. Honestly, there wasn't. So how am I supposed to come up here and talk about confidence when on Monday I had zero confidence? And I just realized, just once me and God made up and I was okay and I talked to him again, and it was just kind of clear that it's so easy to have confidence when everything is going right. When everything is going good in your life, everything you want is happening, it's easy to have confidence in God. But why is it so, when God does have a plan, and we talk about that quite often here, but when it doesn't go your way, why does our confidence go out the window? When one bad thing arises, then we'll just forget about God, the God that was going to provide the job that we had confidence in, now decided, no, that's not for you, and then we lose our confidence. When everything is all bad, our confidence zaps. Feels like you're in the middle of a storm and everything is falling down all around you. Where is your confidence? Where is your confidence? If you have your Bibles today, please turn to Matthew chapter 6. I was reminded about this scripture. normally this scripture, when you read it, it's supposed to make you feel good. You read it, it makes you feel butterflies and like you're skipping in a rose garden and everything is great and lovey and God loves me and it makes you feel good, right? But on Monday when I read this scripture, it wasn't a feel-good type of read. I didn't feel good. What it was and what it showed me is just who God is. And when I had all these emotions and feelings about who God was at that time, this slapped me around. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 30, it says, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying what we will eat, what we will drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." When I read the scripture, you feel a certain way. You feel encouraged, or you're clapping because you're like, yes, that is the God that I serve. He cares about me. He loves me. Yes, I know that. Right? You feel strengthened. You feel uplifted when you read that. But if you don't know where your confidence comes from, then those are just words. Those words mean nothing. Because even though you just read that he cares for you, that he loves us, that he cares for flowers, certainly he cares for you. If you don't know the God that does this stuff, then what I just read is just simply words. It means nothing. Does that make sense? The scripture doesn't make you feel happy. It doesn't make you feel encouraged. You can read that scripture all day long, but if you don't know where your source comes from, you don't have encouragement when you open the fridge and there's no food in there. There's no confidence that comes from the God who writes this when your check bounces, when the rent's due. So these are just words, unless you know where your confidence comes from. There's no power behind them. We don't fully understand the God who's saying them. So that was a little bit of my testimony this past week. Like I said, we are in a greater series. So I wanted to talk about Elijah and Elisha. It's something that we have talked about the last couple of weeks. Again, you're going to rehear it again. But it's just something that I feel is so good. And it's so good, and I just wanted to talk about it again. So we know who Elijah is. We know who Elisha is. We know that God had Elijah go find Elisha, and he was plowing the fields. And basically, he was going to pass that spiritual baton to him. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets, and now Elisha was going to walk with him and take that baton. When we read about Elisha, there's no other portion of scripture where he comes up in, when we first hear about him. All we know is he's just a regular dude plowing the fields. We understand the last couple of weeks when Elijah put the cloak over Elisha, passing the baton, that we understand that God had something greater for Elisha. So day in and day out, Elisha was plowing the fields, looking at oxen butt all day, smelling terrible, right? That was his job. That's what he did, day in and day out. But on that day, God was going to interrupt, and he had something greater for his life, right? So we understand that because we read about that. So Elijah puts a cloak over Elisha, and then he just follows. He just follows this man. He hears that God has a plan for him. He feels it or whatever. And he just follows. No questions asked. Imagine the confidence that Elisha had in that God, in God, right? In that circumstance, in that situation. You just follow? The guy puts a cloak over you and you just automatically know that this is what you need to do? Can't imagine the confidence it took for Elisha. Like I said, he didn't ask questions. He didn't try to delay. He didn't make excuses. He had all the confidence in the call and fully trusted God that this was the plan for his life. So much so that he burned everything that represented his old life. So a guy comes, puts the cloak over you. You know what you need to do. Yeah, you're right. Let me go kiss my father and my mother. He goes back to his town. He burns his plows. He slaughters his oxen. Basically, he just destroyed his life, his old life, right? So what kind of confidence do you need to have for that for you to do that? That you're not even, normally today, people now, we like to give a little wiggle room just in case something goes wrong, right? We need a little wiggle room just in case a plan B. But he didn't have a plan B. He destroyed his plan. He destroyed his plan A. He destroyed his whole life. His everything that he knew, he just burnt. And then he had a barbecue with it. Right? Because he was confident that there was no going back. He was confident in the God who was calling him to something greater. And he knew that that confidence wasn't a self-confidence. Oh yeah, I'm going to follow this guy. I'm going to be the next prophet. Everything's going to go good because I'm amazing. It wasn't in himself. It was in the God who was sending him. So much confidence, he slaughtered his oxen, he burned the plows, and then he runs after Elijah to follow him. I forgot to read the scripture. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. Says, so Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 team of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him, and threw his cloak across his shoulders, and then he walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. So Elisha returned to his oxen, slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plows to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. And then he went with Elijah as his assistant. That's amazing confidence, if you ask me. I have a few scriptures that kind of explains the confidence that I'm talking about today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. You get that? But blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Where is their trust? And have made their Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. Man, I want to be a tree like that. You guys get the symbolism there? That those who are, their hope and their confidence in God is like a tree that is right by the river. There is never a drought. There is never a time where that tree is not getting fed and getting its nutrients and getting everything that it needs to grow nice and strong. It doesn't matter how hot it gets because it's right by the river. That's where its hope is. That's where their confidence is. And that's where our confidence needs to come from as well. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. Say never. I will never abandon you. Say never. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. That is the kind of confidence that we read in Scripture. How many of us have that confidence? Sometimes we do. I would say it's kind of like a strobe light, right? It goes on and off. When everything's going good, it goes on. Yeah, I have confidence. Something goes bad, then it turns off. Then we have to try to figure out how to get that confidence back up. But the kind of confidence that we read in the Bible, the kind of confidence that we see in Elisha, there wasn't any on and off. It was just confidence. It was a greater confidence. It wasn't confident. He wasn't confident in the circumstances. There was no plan B. That's confidence. He burned everything he had. It's almost as crazy as coming from South Africa to East LA. That's confidence. Silly, but confident. Right? It's almost as crazy as moving from Ontario to start a church in East LA. Right? Because there's confidence in it. We know that if God has said it, then we can be confident in it. He will provide. Some people move from up north down here too. Confidence in the Lord that he will provide. God has something greater for us, church. His plan, his purpose is great. Say amen to that. God has something greater for us. We have to be confident in that. Right? God has something greater for your marriage. You have to be confident in that. God has something greater for your ministries. You have to be confident in that. Not in what you can do and what craft you can come up with or what prayer you can pray, but you have to have confidence from God that comes from God. If you want your marriage to work, you need to remove that confidence that comes in, I'm a good dude and I can figure it all out. And replace that with the confidence in God. What is God saying for your marriage? Draw our confidence from the Lord. God has a greater plan for our finances, for our future. So where are you putting your confidence in? In ourselves, in our situation, in our spouses? Are we putting our confidence in our bosses that we're going to get the check that we're going to need to pay rent and ends meet? Our confidence must be like those trees that we read about that are deeply, deeply rooted in the stream. Our confidence must be rooted deep down in Christ alone. Not our own effort, not our own circumstances. And what I've realized from following the Lord so much is that our confidence will get shaken at times, right? Bad things do happen. We live in a damaged world, right? But I know that when we face storms and when we have trials and when obstacles arise, I know that I don't have to focus on those things. I don't have to be so overwhelmed by those things. I know that I can draw the confidence from God because I read it in Scripture. I sing it on Sunday morning. I can draw my confidence from Him. That even that the biggest storms happen, you know that the confidence that you have will never be shaken. It will never be taken from you. That's the kind of confidence that we need to have. It's a greater confidence. No matter what you see, you know that God is still there and God is right beside you and God is still the power and the engine that runs this thing. God is good, amen? Is your confidence stirring up now? You guys ready to burn your plows? I haven't even got to the part of my scripture that I want to share this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. This is David speaking in Psalms. And I want to draw some parallels between him and Elisha. What we just read and what we're reading now. So Psalms 23. This is another scripture that makes you feel good. Right? It's supposed to. When you're down and when you don't have something, you read this scripture and it makes you feel good. But it's another one that if you don't know the God that is saying it, then it's just words. And I also think this Psalms 23 is one of my favorite scriptures because it draws out who God is. If you don't know who God is in this room, and if you don't have a right idea of who he is, well, maybe he's this, and maybe he's that, and maybe he does this, and maybe he's a judgmental God, or maybe he's when you're bad, what do? Punishing me. Maybe he punishes. When you don't have the right idea of God, some of this stuff goes in different directions, right? So Psalms 23, I feel, gives the best description of who God is. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me to in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Say forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. When I read that, that is the greater confidence that I have. God is my shepherd. I'm the sheep. He's going to take care of me. He's going to guide me. He's going to provide for me. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. When I read this scripture, it gives me a picture of who God is. And number one, if you're taking notes, God is a God that provides. He's a God that provides. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Say, all that you need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right path, bringing honor to his name. When I read just that little verse, I get this biggest picture of who God is. I know that he's a God that I can count on and my confidence in for rest. If you need rest this morning, you can go to God. He is going to provide. He is going to provide the rest that I need. I know that if I'm on E and I'm on empty this morning, I know that I can go to the God. My confidence is in God for the refreshment that I need. If I need renewal this morning, I know that he can provide that renewal. When I'm feeling low and I'm feeling down and I'm feeling nasty and I'm feeling shameful or whatever, I know that I can go to God. My confidence is in God, that he will bring what I need. I draw my confidence from God. I have confidence in him that he will provide for my every need in this life. So when we rest in God's love and we eat from his word, we can have the confidence that our souls will be restored. Is that good? So we read this portion of scripture from David, but when we look at Elisha and we see him burn those plows, we know that that was a symbol of his past life. He had confidence in God, and he knew that God had something greater for him. So much that he made sure that there was nothing ever to come back to. There was no turning back. There was no fear. Confidence in Christ. Confidence in God at that time, that God will provide for his new life and for the new adventuring journey that God had for him. That's confidence. And number two, when I read Psalms 23, I see a picture of a God that protects. It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protects me and comforts me. Sometimes as Christians, we get a little worried and we get a little sad or upset when we find ourselves in some dark valleys. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that we would never be in any dark valleys. He wrote this in a dark valley. Even when I'm walking through the darkest valley. So he is walking through the darkest valley. He's not protected from the dark valley because he's in the dark valley, right? Even when I'm in the darkest valley. But the confidence that he has is that God is with him in that dark valley. He says, I will not be afraid. You are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. He draws the protection that he seeks from God, confident that God will protect. He will fear no evil. Now imagine Elisha on his new journey. Nothing to go back to. Not knowing the details. He didn't go to a class beforehand. He didn't go to a Bible study beforehand. He just knew he got a call from God and he was just going to follow it. Elisha was now on a new journey, trusting God to guide him and lead him, to lead the way. And I got to think, at some point, he felt like he was losing control of his life. At some point, you have to feel like, just like, where am I going? I'm just following this guy. I have no clue where we're going or what we're going to do. I know Elijah, he's one of the greatest prophets, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to follow him, and he's going to pass on the torch to me, and I'm going to do that? This is way too much. But he had the confidence in God to just do it. Just do it. I'm sure he had moments where he felt that it was scary or feeling like this was just way too big for him, right? But he has confidence that God would protect him on his journey. His confidence was in God. His confidence was that God's path for him was the right path. That God's plan for him was the best plan. Remember, I had all my plans and my ideas of what I was going to do with the new job and the money. And I had the confidence that God was going to bring this job. Didn't bring the job. That means the money's not there. The plans are gone. But I got to have my confidence in him to know that he has the right plan for me. Even though it's hard, I'm not saying it's easy. But that's what I got to have the confidence that his plan for my life is better than whatever I can come up with. He understood and had confidence that God was leading him into greater things, leading him into the land of the more, supplying his provision and supplying his protection. Number three, as I read Psalms 23, I see a God of promise. So I see a God that provides, I see a God that protects, and I see a God that promises. He's a God of promise. It says, my cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. And I read this, and you gotta know that David understood, he grasped who this God was. That not only was he going to provide, not only was he going to protect, but this is something that is never going away. That he was going to be in heaven forever. That no matter where he went, God would pursue him forever. Jesus says, I have come to give life and life more abundantly. I believe David understood that. I believe Elisha understood that they drew their confidence from God, and they knew that. No matter where they would be, God would be there, and God would provide. So with God by my side, I have the confidence to say, man, whatever you want, God, I'm there. Whatever you want to give me, I'll take you. Whatever you don't want to give me, I'm good with that. My confidence is in you. Have you ever had somebody promise you something? And it was like a weird promise, like, yeah, right, promise. Right? Like, oh, hey, I know everybody hears this. Hey, look, we should do something later. Let's go out to eat, like on Friday or something. You want to go out to eat? Yeah, let's go out to eat. And then in your heart, you're like, yeah, right, I ain't going out to eat. Never going out to eat. You're always busy. You always flake. You always have an excuse. You're not going out to eat. There's none of that in the confidence of God, right? We don't have confidence like we have confidence in ourselves, where it's just like, yeah, right. Yeah, you're going to go out to eat. Yeah. It's actually a confidence. I know that's a silly example, but there's never that. There's never that in the back of your mind, just like, yeah, right, God. Forever? You're going to be with me forever? Yeah, right. There's none of that. We have confidence in God, not only for a great present, not only for a great now, but for a great future. How many of you guys can say amen to that? Not only that God is going to give us the confidence to have a great now, a great day today, tomorrow, a present, but also a great future, a heavenly future. That's exciting. That's encouraging. A marvelous future, an eternal home, a heavenly hope. And David doesn't say that I hope to be there. If I can follow all your rules and all your plans, maybe soon, one day I can be there if there's room for me. He says, I will be there. He doesn't say I hope to be there. He says, I will be there. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So as Christians, we know that we should not want, we should not fear. We got to know that we will dwell with the Lord forever. I believe that God has something more for us, church. More than we could ever see, even right now. I believe that there's something greater for us. We just have to put our confidence in the Lord. We have to put our confidence in the right thing, not in ourselves. Not even in the church. I have confidence that the church is going to be a good men's breakfast on November 5th. My confidence is there. And then it rains and we don't play softball, and then our confidence is shot. We don't want to go to church anymore because softball was ruined. That's not how it works. We got to put our confidence in God. God has something greater for RLA. He has something greater for us. We put our confidence in the Lord. He is the creator. See, if I put it like that, if I put that God is the creator of the world, he's designer of the world. How do you not put your confidence in that? He made the sun. He made the moon. He made the oceans. Right? He created us. That's the person that we're putting our confidence in, not the guy at work that's flaky. Right? It's a different thing. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. That's where my confidence comes from. It comes from God. That's the greater confidence that we all need to start walking into the greater that God has called us to. We can leave the past behind. We can burn our plows, and we can confidently follow Jesus. Confidently holding on to the provision and his protection and the promise that he has given us. That's the God I serve. That's the God I confidently have my hope in, even when I'm in the darkest valley. And even when I get the email saying that I don't have the job, or I get the doctor's report saying, hey, something bad is happening, I can still have confidence because I know who the God that I serve is. It's no question. They're not just words. It's not just a song. It's actually my God. He's always there. He's always restoring. He's always renewing. And I know even if I don't initially like the greater plan that he has for me, I know it's the greater plan. I know that his plan is the best direction for my life. Amen? If you want to know this God that I'm talking about, I would like to pray. I don't know everybody in here, but I just want to give an opportunity. The God that provides and the God that protects. The God of promise. If you don't know that, if you don't know that God, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't go to church. With everybody's eyes closed. And you want that confidence that I'm talking about. Maybe you put your confidence in some of the wrong things in your lifetime. But you want to put your confidence in God. If that's you, if you can just raise your hand, I would like to pray. It's a small prayer. Amen. Maybe you feel like your confidence is shot this morning. Maybe you feel like your faith is wavering. Maybe you feel like you have been pulling out of the wrong confidence well. And you find yourself just questioning God. Maybe you find yourself on a different path or different direction that you feel that you really need to be on. And if that's you, can you just raise your hand this morning? It's It's not a shameful thing, and it's not a bad thing. We've always had that. We've always had. Every day is a test. And my hand is up as well. So, Lord God, I just want to get to, we as a church, Lord, want to know you better. Lord, we want to continue to submit our lives to you and give our lives to you. Lord, and I just pray, God, about this greater confidence. I pray, God, that we would be able to just submit ourselves to that. That we would be able to trust you, be able to put our hope in you, be able to put our confidence in you, Lord. Lord, and I just pray, God, that the confidence that we seek, God, would just be of you. Lord, we pray, God, that you would just direct our path, Lord, that you would provide and that you would protect. Lord, we pray, God, that there would just be a newness of life and a bigger, greater vision of what you have for us, Lord, as a church and as individuals. Lord, I pray, God, that this greater that we're talking about, that we would all begin to start walking into it. That we would begin to give up the things that we don't need, that we would begin to get our lives right. We'd begin to listen to you a little bit more. Begin to trust you a lot more, God. Lord, thank you for this greater message. Lord, thank you for your provision, your protection, and your promise, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that we have an eternal home. Lord, we're so thankful, God. Your goodness is so amazing. Lord, bless everybody here this morning. God, we love you. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.